Well, I want to thank everyone that is here tonight and those that are listening around the world on our website. And I'm here with Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt, myself, I guess Jim, Pastor Jim, and Pastor Tim. And we're going to kind of just let see where the Spirit of God takes us here. We've been speaking about building a house for God to dwell in for 2018. We really feel strong about what he is trying to say is he wants to dwell with us, and we have to come out of the carnal way of thinking and become more spiritually minded and begin to look more into the spiritual realm than in the carnal realm. And you know, we suffer, we're all suffering, and no matter which way you look at it, you're going to have problems today, tomorrow. Nothing's ever going to run out right. There's always going to be issues and problems. Right away, the first thing we do is we begin to start taking it physically, mentally, or emotionally. And we have to look at God's ultimately in control. We spoke about Job and how God allowed Satan to basically re-alter and direct Job's life until Job finally came to a place of knowing who God was. And to develop that fear, now that I'm bringing back memories of Sunday, you know, God wants us to first see who he is and his magnitude of attributes and how powerful and almighty and how much control he has over our lives. And we're operating life through the Spirit, if you know it or not, whether it's walking in the soul, that's Spirit, or walking in that divine nature of Christ, and that's Spirit. But we're actually manifesting our lives in Spirit. But when we're making groanings and we have these things that are manifesting deep in our core, we tend to be carnally minded, and we allow the worries and the fears and the anxieties work on us. And Pastor Sam was just talking about a friend of his that was coming under some severe anxiety attacks. And we all know what anxiety attacks are. Say, they're almost identical to depression. Yeah. You know, it's all mental attacks. A lot of people say it's based on an imbalance or what have you, but it's your thoughts that you are emotionally being attacked by, and without understanding, you allow these thoughts to, you know, consume you.
Put him in bed, couldn't move.
So here, share what happened when your friend was manifesting in the carnal, because when you allow the carnal realm to consume you, you come under these deep depressions and deep anxiety attacks, and anger manifests. You take things out on your own. You don't know how to show any love. You don't know how to show any kindness. You don't know how to really, show maturity, to be honest with you, because the more you operate in the realm of the Spirit, the more you handle yourself mature. You know, you don't let little things like stir you up and make you really upset. Oh, I'm so upset. Yeah. So when you're operating in that carnal realm, it consumes you. And depending on how deep you are in the realm of the soul, the more, and I want to say how deep you are in the carnal way of thinking, the more you're distraught, the more you're tormented. Exactly. So I want Sam to explain what just took place.
I saw him today, and he was telling me that the other night he had a lot of anxiety. He had some fears and some worries that were happening in his life, and he was dwelling on it. And he said, I didn't want to dwell on it, but I couldn't stop myself. I kept I kept going. I watched a movie. It didn't work. I talked to him. It didn't work. Whatever he was trying didn't work. Nothing he tried worked. The thought never left him. So he tried to go to sleep, and it overtook him. And he started hyperventilating. He started sweating really bad. He thought he was going to go to the hospital. He was going to call me, but it was 2 or 3 in the morning, so he didn't want to bother. But he's going to go to the hospital. That's how bad it got. And his wife was holding him and consoling him and putting the wet rag on his head, and she was saying it's all going to be okay. But nothing she said took the thought out of his head. The thought kept coming over and over and over and over. And the thought eventually was saying, you know, it's never going to be okay. This is going to be the end of you. And that's what he started believing in. And he lost control of everything. And he really was done. He was laid in bed and he just shivered. That's all he could do.
See, now, if he knew the truth, you know, based on the gospel that we're speaking about, because we know the truth, he could have took a grip of himself and took control of those thoughts and actually tore those thoughts down.
That's what I said to him. I said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I said, you have to take that thought, and you have to start being grateful. I said, as soon as that happens again, you start thanking God for the 5 fingers on your hand that you can see. Start thanking him for things and keep pushing. I said, you got to push through. You got to press that other side out because it's pressing on you. It's pushing. It pushes its way in. You got to push it out with truth. There's no other way to do it. So I kept saying, just say thank you to God over and over and over until you can. I said, push till it happens. Push till you break through. You have to break through. You know, you have to.
Well, more than likely, the thoughts that were attacking him was something that
didn't even happen yet.
Right. It was an imagination.
It
was an imagination.
Yep.
And 99.9%, the soul creates these imaginations, and you begin to panic.
Yep.
Or have panic attacks or what have you. And if we really knew the truth, that God has our best interest, whether we know him or not, that's the coolest thing. He directs everyone's footsteps to ultimately know him.
Yep.
You see, God wants the whole world to know him.
You know what's funny? Long time ago in here, we used to have a motto, and it was, whenever you get these unbelievable thoughts and they're attacking your mind, we always used to say, who told you that?
Yeah.
You know, revert back to yourself. And who's saying this? Who told you that?
Yeah.
Why are you believing this? You know, and you got to get that way you get a grip of reality and you can focus again and say, okay, why am I even thinking this way? Why are these thoughts coming in?
Why isn't another side? Why is it only one side?
Right.
Why isn't there two sides?
Right. Why isn't there other positive sides?
Why is there only one side? Exactly right.
Exactly.
You're done.
You're going to get it. Strength.
Correct.
And that's why it's so important for us to understand the spiritual world and not so much understand the carnal world, because the carnal world doesn't give you the knowledge to know that who told you that.
Correct.
You know? Yep. So you don't know where these thoughts are coming in at. So automatically you react as their truth. When the truth is, the carnal realm, which is connected to the soulish realm, is only out there to lead you to a bad path.
Correct. Right.
Where God ultimately wants to lead you to a good path. Everybody. So whatever circumstances that are happening in our life, God always makes a way to where that's what you really wanted.
That's right.
People don't understand. When we're led and our hearts are changed, it's what we really want.
It has to be that way. It has to be that way. There's no other way.
Here's an example, and what keeps coming back to me is how God worked on Pharaoh's heart.
Yep.
You know, the Israelites were like interceding, moaning and groaning, oh, we want to get out of this slavery type world. And so God went ahead and changed the hearts of those who had the authority and ultimately led to a decision to set them free, when he had the power to keep them in bondage. But then when they were walking around in the desert, what happened?
Complaining.
They started to moan and groan, and almost to the point where they wanted to go back. And it was like God saying, okay, you want to go back? All right, we'll send you back. But instead of sending them back, he just made them walk around the desert. Yeah.
And so then they changed the way they thought.
Then they realized, hey, this is a little too much. Maybe we better be grateful for where we're heading. And then finally they stopped complaining or whatever and murmuring, and then entered into the promised land, which is a good topic actually to bring, because God's going to make us go through fire. And that's really ultimately what we want anyhow. You know, we're just not mature enough to know that there's something better on the other side. Like losing a job. Nobody wants to lose a job, right? And all of a sudden, oh my God, I lost my job. When the whole time you were probably saying, I hate this stinking job.
Yep.
I don't want to be in this stinking job. Then when you lose it, you're like, oh my God. But if you just settled down and understood the spiritual world, you would have probably would have been starting to rejoice and be grateful, because you know that God's, you know.
What's next?
Yeah.
What's
you, next? You know that there's something good that's ahead of you. Like, I know an individual who just came under a circumstance that was really beyond his control, and the accusations were put against him. And I want to tell my brother, listen, don't get all upset, because this is what you wanted anyhow. You just don't realize it. And everything's going to be all right. But what's going on right now is the carnal nature taking over and creating all these imaginations in his mind, causing his heart to be heavy, when the reality is he don't have to. It's putting him through like self torment for no reason at all. Whack. You know, there's no reason to put that pain and that burden, even though it looks dark, you know. But they're imaginations. Everything's an imagination. There's no light yet shown. Now there's a little bit of light. And that little bit of light is actually, we're rejoicing in it. But we should be rejoicing in the situation now, knowing that everything is. I mean, I know I am. When I heard the story, I was like, oh, man, praise God, brother. You know, and trying to keep a sympathy face on. Whoa, I'm sorry. I feel so bad. But deep down inside, I'm like, yeah, finally, he's going to be free. He's going to be free from the past. He's going to be able to start his new life. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, all right, finally. You know, I can watch a couple who's in love with themselves finally grow and mature and get deeper relationship with God and throw the past behind them, and it's like, yay!
You know,
but you have to be sympathetic and feel for their pain.
A lot of times we bring pain on ourselves because we're thinking in terms of what's the traditional way of thinking about a certain situation. Like, the world would have it that, oh, you know, you can't allow that to leave. You can't walk away from that, or, you know, particular situation that you're in, because it puts guilt on you, puts shame on you. But in reality, the spirit realm's opposite to that. You know, the spirit realm's basically saying, look, you're free. I'm giving you a new life. You're gonna have freedom now. Whereas the world's saying, well, no, you know, remember we were talking Sunday, said, you know, Jesus was asked, who's my brother? Who's my sister? He's like, the ones that do the will of the Father. This person's my mother. This person's my father. Not my flesh and blood that's not doing the will of God. You know, so have hope and have rest at this, that God's setting you free, which is an awesome thing. You know, so, he's taking that burden, that weight off your back.
So if we can have our listeners out there understand the importance of changing the way we're thinking, and this is what the true meaning of repentance is. You know, everyone thinks that meaning of repentance is I'm sorry, oh, forgive me, I'm sorry. There's no need to be sorry for anything, really. You just have to say, my life is being led and directed, and I have to really take things more of a, in a mature manner, and take a couple steps back and begin to start realizing that there are spiritual warfare, spiritual battles over our heads, and that we need time for God to work those battles for us, because the battle belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. Even though that God is ultimately in control, there's still a spiritual warfare that is over our heads.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Yeah, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so by having faith, faith is as simple as just trusting in Him.
Yeah, you don't know what's coming around the bend. You don't know.
Nope.
But we always expect the worst.
But also knowing that, you know, God has our best interest.
Yep, yep.
And that's what we have to hold on to. You know, no matter what it is, whether they're an unbeliever or not, I would simply say to that person, listen, you just have to believe that God has our best interest in mind.
Yep.
And to just relax and calm down, because everything's going to work out for the good.
Yep.
And just know that if you, the more you relax, you are actually fueling the holy angels.
The blessing.
I like that. The blessing, because our listeners can understand that. The blessing to manifest into your life.
Absolutely.
Rather than fueling the curse or what have you. Fueling
the soul. Right.
Fueling the soul, because that life, that path, the soul's path, ultimately leads you down to misery. Ultimately leads you down the road of destruction. Ultimately leads you to hell.
Yeah.
Because we know the answer. The condition that you leave this earthly body is the condition that you're placed in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important on earth now to obtain that maximum level of peace and joy and righteousness that we possibly can on earth. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, man, I can't wait till I die. And I'm, why? Oh, because I'm so miserable and depressed, and I think this world sucks. And I'm like,
they're going to remain that way.
I'm going, dude, it's
going to suck on the other side.
Yeah, I'm like, you're like in an eternal realm right now. You're talking in the eternal realm, and the condition that you are, your heart is right now, that's the condition that you're going to pass over to the eternal realm. So you better snap out of it and get into that and search and seek for the kingdom of God. And get that righteousness, peace, and joy in you so that you're overly abundantly full of joy and gladness, so that when you do leave this earthly body, you're put into that heavenly place of, you know, happiness, peace, and joy. And, you know, you're not in the hell, you know. That's why we really need to have more of an understanding of the spiritual world. Because the outcome is eternal.
I'm glad you brought that up, Pastor Jim, because God is a God that wants to bring you into salvation. And there's things where He actually trims things out of your life. He brings things into your life. He takes things out of your life. And there's seasons.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you said that, because he says that my desire is not to have one suffer or be destroyed. Not
correct.
One.
Not one person.
Not one. It's not like you have to know Him.
Right.
Because the crazy thing is He says, it's better not to know Me than to know Me and be lukewarm.
Correct.
You know, that changed my whole mind about evangelizing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking, whoa, man, if I tell them about God, it's where I'm doing more harm than good. I better just shut up. But God's desire is not for one person to suffer or be destroyed.
Correct.
So like you were saying, if He changes your heart, If he changes your circumstances,
or if he brings somebody in or He brings somebody out, it's because He's trying to lead you to salvation. He's trying to bring you in salvation. He knows if there's people or things that are weights in our life that are causing troubleness to our hearts. So He might remove them for a season, and then eventually maybe He'll bring them back, or maybe He doesn't. It depends on their condition.
Maybe it doesn't, because maybe it might help that person find salvation.
Correct.
You
correct.
See?
Yep.
Help that person see what they missed or lost out on because of the way they were thinking and acting, and realize, I got to really change the way I'm thinking or acting, and then find salvation through another or through another circumstance or whatever it is.
Sure.
But they repent. They change the way they're thinking.
Correct.
And that's what's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Look, we got callers calling.
People are calling off the internet right now. Well,
if you're out there and you want to intercede with us, just write us an email and we'll send you back a text. But tearing down the imaginations is so important, because Sam's friend would have never even entered into that anxiety. What did he have?
Anxiety.
Just an anxiety attack.
Yeah, anxiety led to fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, worry. That's all wrapped up in the. Yep.
And that right there is the empowerment of darkness to destroy a life. Anyone that's manifesting in the fear and the worry and the anxiety and all that, that's just empowering death.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for our listeners to find out and know that, hey, you know what? I better know more about the spiritual mind.
Yeah.
I need to have more of a spiritual awareness, because my soul, my emotions, my lack of understanding, because lack of understanding creates imaginations, don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what's happening, what happens? You begin to be God, and you begin to create all these scenarios.
That's the worst.
And 99.9%, they're all what?
Negative.
Negative. Wrong.
Yep.
All the time.
Always wrong.
They never speak life and hope.
Correct. They speak death.
They always. Negative scenarios. It'll never work. It'll never work.
Why are these guys looking at me and giving me dirty looks? Because you're walking around stinking.
Yeah, or I'm going to lose everything.
You're frowning and.
I'm going to lose everything. Oh, I want to go to jail. Oh, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to tell you right now. We could be prophesying our future if we keep manifesting those thoughts.
Exactly right.
In the negative realm, and the negative things will happen.
That's right. Yeah, that's why I met someone a long time ago, and I said to that person, you better change the way you're thinking, because you know what? You're prophesying your future.
No matter whether it's right, whether it's spirit or soul, you're prophesying your future either way.
That's exactly right.
You're creating or you're destroying, either one.
Because what a man thinks in his heart, so he is.
Correct.
And I told that person, I said, you have a lack of understanding and you're carnally minded. And that carnally minded is enmity against God and it's pure death.
Yep.
And that's what's going to lead you to death, because all your thoughts are negative and they're coming to your future. Your thoughts are bringing a future to you. Yep. Faith is a manifestation, okay? And faith brings into existence what don't exist.
True.
And anger, fear, resentment, and hatred all works under faith. When you create imaginations, what do you create along with it? Faith. You're believing it. You begin to believe those lies, and where's the anxiety begin to start stirring up?
Yep.
It not only hurts your physical body, but it starts hurting your spiritual body. And torment and all those other things begin to manifest.
Yep.
How do you think these cancer things start developing and all this other garbage that's manifesting? You know, they can't find cures for it. There's no reason they can't, because they're spiritual.
It starts
with cures. Spiritual. With physical medicine.
Right. Yeah, medicine can't feel. No,
you're dealing with physical. I mean, spiritual issues, and they're trying to put drugs on. It's impossible. You can't drug the spirit.
Exactly
you're
right.
It. That's what you're doing.
Exactly right.
But think about it. Even as a young child, you develop these fears, like fear the boogeyman, fear the dark. You know, you start taking on these thought processes, and it debilitates you to the point where now I got to sleep with the light on. You know, it's because I'm afraid of the dark. You know, I can't have anything under the bed because that's where the boogeyman's at, or my closet or whatever, you know. And then as you get older, if you never overcome these thoughts, they start to spiral into, hey, this person might have cancer. And then they start thinking about cancer all the time, or, you know, I'm going to lose my job. And then guess what?
There's never anything positive.
Correct. So that's where this teaching in here enables you to overcome these thought processes, and it enables you to also start trusting God and seeing God's empowerment in your life.
It gives you hope.
It does.
Where there's no hope.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no hope. They're subject to the lies in their minds. That's all they have.
I think, let me cut you off, but what we were talking about earlier was what was brought in here a few years back with this surrender, accept and receive. And if people can really start there, surrender your situation, surrender it to God, accept what's going on, and then receive his blessing. And I think that's a big thing, what you were talking about, where we, with our imaginations, really draw out the process. The quicker you can surrender it to God and know that he is God and he is the hierarchy, and we can surrender that, like you were saying, your blessing will come.
Yeah.
And it is. It's quicker. But we think, oh, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that. Listen, you, and like Pastor Tim was talking about earlier, you may lose something. But you know what? When you don't put it above God, you may get it back.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Because God's going to remove. If you really want a relationship with God, you're going to have to surrender
everything.
Everything that you put above him. You have to. Because then he's not God if you don't.
That's right.
Right.
And that goes with our thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I hear about someone who's troubled, they probably don't like to talk to me much because I'm
positive.
I'm at a point where I let them people know that everything's going to be all right. You just have to, like, you got to rest. And why I say that is because I know they're just entertaining the thoughts in their head.
All the time.
Exactly. All the time.
24/7, there's no rest at all.
No.
They're weary.
Yes.
And they're heavy laden.
And they got to stop the voices.
They got to stop, woe is me, and you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because that's a big one.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Nobody knows I'm in this situation.
Yeah, we all
nobody
know.
Knows. I'm here by myself on an island. Well, instead of being open and wanting help.
Well, we'll share with our listeners.
The soul says that. The soul says no. Yeah, that's how you lie to you. Separates.
When they say nobody knows, well, we know one thing. We know it's warfare.
That's right.
Amen.
So if it's this or that, or I don't really care about your story.
The grenade still takes them out, doesn't it?
It's warfare.
You got me right.
And we know warfare. And warfare is belongs to God. It's not for us to fight.
Right.
And every thought that comes in, it exalts itself over the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God is, let me take care of it.
Right.
Let me guide you. Let me lead you. You know, let me unfold tomorrow. I'll bring the people in. I'll bring the support. I'll open doors where no man can open. I'll shut where no man can shut. I'll take care of it all.
That's right. That's where we got to live.
That's where we got to live.
That's faith. That's hope.
That's faith.
Knowing
that's
God, hope. Knowing no matter what happens, if God is for me, who could be against me?
You know, God is so much in control that he has authority above those thought processes, the darkness, the powers, the principalities. I mean, there's nothing under the sun that God doesn't know about. He's not aware about, and he is so in control that when you surrender to him, you're giving power over to him to be the authority in your life. It's when you take on those thoughts and you're trying to battle it yourself, God takes his hands off of it.
Yeah, because
he's waiting on you.
Because he's taking you through it.
Correct.
He's taking you by the hand and walking you through it. Now, if you let go of his hand, he's going to step back and say, go ahead and go through yourself.
Correct.
But if you acknowledge him, he'll keep walking you right through it. If you acknowledge him and humble yourself under him and say, I believe, he's going to take you by the hand and walk you. He's taking you through it anyway, so let him take you through the whole thing.
Well, that,
instead of abandoning him.
That correct. Scenario like just that. Confirms that he says, this day, who are you going to serve?
That's right. Choose you're going to serve this day.
Who are you going to serve?
Yep.
And God wants us to serve him. If we serve him, we fall under arrest.
Correct.
That's why he says, my desire is that they would enter into my rest.
You're more than conquerors.
Yep. When we start serving the thoughts, then what happens is we're serving the dark side.
Correct.
There are gods now. Because whoever we believe is who we serve.
Yeah, you're bowing down to whatever you believe.
Yep. And so when we begin to entertain those thoughts, we're actually worshiping them.
Correct.
Correct. That's exactly.
Because
right.
we're believing them.
Which right. creates.
Well, yes. That's where creation begins
you're
to start.
You're reverencing whatever it is. Like if you're falling into troubled heart and everything, you're reverencing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're honoring that because mm-hmm. you're allowing it to manifest in your life and overtake you.
That's you're believing it more than you're believing God.
Correct.
You're believing
correct.
The circumstance more than you're believing God. You're believing yep. the fear more than you're believing God. You're believing anything more than you're believing God. That's it. It's done.
Right. And then God can't move.
No.
Until
you surrender.
Well, he said surrender it again. Because Jesus. He's going to let you walk around in circles and circles and circles until you surrender that situation to him.
Scripture says Jesus could do many miracles in their hometown because of
their unbelief.
Unbelief.
Yeah. Their unbelief.
Yeah. But you're gonna. What we're trying to say is, you can keep walking, think you can do it on your own. But I don't know anybody that hasn't ever surrendered it finally and said, you know what I mean? It's not my way. Either that, or you're just gonna be. That's where alcohol comes in and drugs
that's
come in.
That's where they all went.
And
right
that's
there.
Where they go. Medication.
That's where they all went right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right there.
All of them went
yeah.
there.
Well,
not many came this path.
Yeah. If you come to this truth, you will.
Yes.
Well,
we've
done themselves.
Yes.
Correct. It could be gambling.
Anything.
It could be
anything.
Pornographic.
It could be
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. Well, it could be cutting.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't
it
really
could
have
be
to
thoughts
be
thoughts in your head.
It
could be sports. It could be
it could be sports.
It could just be thoughts.
Those are all symptoms of the trouble that
this
you,
is
that
more this is more real than God is right now to me. This is more real to me than God. This is what I'm seeing right now. I don't even see God right now. I'm seeing this. It's all you see. It's yeah. what you put in front of you.
Yeah.
It becomes more real than God.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It is.
Because we start worshiping that, and we look for that dangerous. For our peace, and God's like, no.
Yeah. So for us to find peace, to find our life, we need to surrender.
Correct.
It says, in order to have a life, you got to lose it. If you lose your life, you'll have one.
That's right.
People don't understand what that really means. When you stop entertaining the thoughts of the mind and let God just lead you by just taking a step back, you lost your life.
That's right.
And it starts with humility, by taking that step back. Because in pride, you're taking the step forward and you're trying to do it yourself.
Pride is the biggest destruction.
It's the biggest.
And the more pride you got, the bigger the fall it is.
Yep.
That's why we speak heavily on yep. humility. Sunday, we spoke about humility
yeah.
and how important it is to have humility in our heart and really have a fear of the Lord.
Yes.
God can either make you or break you. God has the keys to either put you in hell or set you up on the mountain on high. God has the ultimate power in say. Now, like what Pastor Sam said earlier, you're gonna entertain the thoughts, then I'm going to leave you alone.
Right.
As you were talking to Pastor Sam, you entertain that discussion where it's 100% right. If you're going to be like, if you're going to rest in me and I'm going to be your God, then I'll take care of the battle.
Correct.
If you're going to entertain the thoughts and you're going to worship the uncleaned soul,
That's going to be your God.
That's going to be your God, and it ultimately takes you to hell. It
correct.
Ultimately leads you to destruction. Now, the one thing that I want our listeners to understand is the power of faith. We can't entertain these things because we prophesy our destiny.
Correct. That's exactly right.
If you're going to believe a lie, you're going to live that lie,
that's
and you're,
right.
that lie is going to destroy you.
That's right.
You'll never experience the peace, freedom, and the joy
of truth
of yeah. what your life is really about.
That's right.
Yep.
See, in the beginning of time, God wrote the book on each and every one of us, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And we need to understand that our end outcome does exist.
That's right.
Yep.
And God wants to lead us to that place where we were created for. But the soul wants to rob and steal that life and lead us to hell.
Yep.
Lead us to destruction. Lead us to misery. Lead us... See, and that's, I want the life that God has for me.
That's right.
I don't know what exactly it is, but I know that it's peace and joy and righteousness.
You
know,
you're on the right path.
Yeah.
That's one thing you do know.
And how you gauge it is by the level of peace that you have.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Not that you, the scripture says, and this is my favorite scripture, not that you would just produce much fruit, but that your fruit would remain.
But
your fruit has remained.
Amen.
That's a miracle. Now my fruit's starting to remain. His fruit and his starting to remain. It used to be fleeting. It would come and go, and we didn't know how to keep it. Now we're learning how to keep it. We're learning how to stay in that truth and battle the lies.
Because you learned warfare.
Correct.
You know, people think spiritual warfare is out there beating the devil with a bush,
it
you know, from the stake, you know.
It's fought right in here.
Yeah. And then, you know, looking for Satan behind that bush. And, I'm going to get you, devil. I'm going to pull it out.
We'll pull him down.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was actually going to speak this. In the Old Testament, there was a confrontation. There's a spiritual hierarchy because God is the ultimate supreme being and he controls everything and everything else must bow down to him or even come and ask him for permission. But what was funny was the archangel Michael was having a dispute with Satan. And he goes, Satan, I don't rebuke you. God rebukes you.
The Lord rebuked you.
Yeah. So that was just telling everybody that God is the rebuker.
Yeah. And you're talking about Archangel Michael.
Michael is one of the highest ones up there.
Is the highest ranking angel.
Correct.
In spiritual warfare.
So, and he doesn't even rebuke.
No.
If he
received a commandment by God,
yep,
then he would usher in to warfare.
Correct.
But because the commandment didn't come, he says, I can't rebuke you.
Yeah.
I can't come and enter into something.
Correct.
You had something on the tip.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that people have to realize that God is the one taking them down these paths.
Yeah.
He's the one. Listen, Jesus
said before. Because the ultimate desire was yours to begin
exactly
with.
Exactly right.
You just didn't know how he was going to do it.
Exactly.
And that's what troubles the heart.
It wasn't your way.
It wasn't your way.
And I'm going to say this scripture. I'm going to say this scripture because it's so vital. Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said, you know, defend yourself. And Jesus said, you have no authority to do a thing to me unless God allows it. You can't touch me. Things aren't happening to me unless God allows it.
And that right there was him coming up against someone who was carnal.
Exactly.
Pilate was a man.
Right.
And he faced him and said, you can't do anything unless my Father in heaven has commanded your heart.
Right. That's right.
Correct.
Literally.
Yep.
If he hardens your heart, then you put me on the cross. If he softens it, then I'm free.
I'm good.
He did, too.
He softened.
No, he softened. You know why?
You people choose.
That's right.
He made the people choose. He made them choose.
He didn't do it.
Well, he didn't do it because, for one, his wife had the dream.
Yep.
And his wife came to Pontius Pilate and said, hey, this dream,
this guy's innocent.
He's innocent.
Release Barabbas.
Well, yeah.
The thief and the scumbag.
Well, remember back then,
give us that third
people
time.
Heard from God. The prophets heard from God through dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big thing. And he heard his wife and he was like, he had a fear of God.
Exactly right.
The fear of God hit him and he was like, yo, I'm not making this decision. You want him?
Yeah.
You make the decision.
So he gave it to the Jews.
He gave it back to the Jews to make it and put the blood back on them.
And they chose Barabbas.
Yep.
And do you know why the Jews put him, why the Jews' hearts were hardened, why God hardened the Jews' heart to put him on the cross? Because the whole time, what did Jesus do?
He came against the law.
He prophesied his future.
Yep.
What a man
he said he
thinketh
was going to hang on the cross
in his heart, so he is.
Yeah.
He was instructed by God,
by
the unction that was within his heart.
Yep.
He says, I'm the lamb that's going to be slain.
Yep.
You see? So he actually prophesied his future.
Yeah, he basically claimed the scriptures in Isaiah.
Isaac.
He
took
the scriptures and he claimed them for himself.
Yep.
He took them.
And
because he took them, he got it.
He got it.
That's the whole world. Take it, claim it, it's yours. Why not? I mean,
and that's what's happening.
Life.
That's what's happening. You know, these things are true. They're spiritual truths. They can work on your best interest.
Yep.
You know, as far as you want to be famous or you want money or whatever, you know, you keep thinking it, you keep thinking it. It's like the power of the mind or the power of the will. But is it God's will? You know, it ultimately leads to a destruction if it's not God's will.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why Jesus kept saying, "Not my will, your will be done."
Right, because the soul was faced with the temptation in the desert, and he says, "Not my will, but my Father's will in heaven,"
right,
and yada yada yada. So, moving forward, to understand how important it is to know the spiritual realm, I feel it's our job for 2018 as one who is speaking the rhema word of God, the one who is speaking that true word of what God wants in this hour. You know, the prophet spoke of what God was saying in that hour.
Right.
And we're carrying that mantle.
We are.
And so the you know, those out there that are listening and are grabbing hold of what we were saying have to take hold of and believe what is being said so that they can line up and begin to become more spiritually minded, because I think as God is moving forward, he's got a plan and a purpose, just like we saw in history, letting go of the Israelites, bringing the flood at Noah's time, you know, set the stars in heaven and birthing Jesus.
Well, we kept
you
saying,
the
people have been crying out the second coming of Christ. Well, it's here. The second coming of Christ is right now. It's a spiritual encounter
and with the divine nature. Exactly right. And everyone
people
is
going to miss it if they're stuck in carnality and in their carnal thoughts. They're looking for it to come out of the sky as a person.
Or a UFO.
Or a UFO.
Yeah.
Or what have you.
Still waiting for the white horse.
Yeah.
But it's right now. It's tangible. It's here. We're speaking it into existence.
Bringing a sword to divide the spirit and the soul.
Correct.
We are bringing the second coming of Christ.
We are.
Christ. Not, that's the difference. They're looking for a second coming of a man. We're looking for the spirit that's already here.
Correct. That's right.
They're looking for a man coming in to worship a man. We're saying that we're here to worship the Christ.
Yes.
Jesus had nothing to do with it. It was the spirit that raised him from the dead, the same one that dwells in us. It wasn't him.
Exactly.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Raising there. They are looking. They just said that on the radio today on a station. They were saying, he's coming in the clouds with a trumpet. Make sure you look every day. It's ridiculous. Oh, my God.
But what's nice is, like Pastor Jim was just saying, we're bringing that spiritual sword, and it's dividing the soul from the spirit so that we can have a relationship with God through spirit, not through this carnal way that everybody else is thinking out there. Because you can't. Yeah. You can't have a relationship with God if you're in the human nature and carnality. You can't.
And if we can tear down the thoughts, we're actually tearing down the power of the soul. We are tearing and destroying the soul by renewing the mind.
That's right.
Yep. And if people can have an awareness of how the mind torments us and it ultimately wants to destroy us, we can bring them into the rest.
Yeah.
And then they can rest in God knowing, which basically they lose their life.
Yep.
I'm losing my life. It's very hard for someone to lose their life. It's basically saying, I'm going to give you everything. And it doesn't matter. That's losing your life.
Yep.
People don't understand what it is to lose their life. They have too many possessions.
Correct.
All their possessions.
Yep.
God's like, you want your possessions? Okay, I'll give you your possessions. Here you go. You can serve your possessions. Or are you going to serve me?
Right.
And if you serve me, I give you all back your possessions.
Plus.
Yeah.
Plus. That's why it was so awesome about Job.
Yeah.
I don't think there is too many people that understand the true story of Job.
No. They almost feel like majority of people that read Job don't see Job as having pride or anything like that.
No. They look at him as a righteous man.
Yeah, and they feel sorry for him.
And they feel sorry for him.
But then why did God say to Job, where were you when I put the hook in Leviathan?
Yeah, but I don't think people get that.
He asked why.
Where were you when I sent the seed to go this far and only this far? That's it. He was calling him out saying, who do you think you are? If you can't see that, then I don't tell you.
But what God was doing was showing Job his attributes.
Exactly right.
Yes.
How
supreme he is.
How powerful. That's right. How powerful.
And how powerful Job wasn't.
Correct. That's right.
Correct.
And I can make you or break you.
Correct.
Job.
Yes.
Watch. I'll even put boils all over your body.
Took away his family.
Well,
took away
in
his
the very
children,
beginning of it,
everything.
When all that happened, what they say in the scriptures, it says, and Job did not curse God with his lips.
Right.
Where was his heart?
Yep.
Right.
It was cursing him.
It was cursing God.
It was cursing him because that's what God hears and intercedes
he
with us.
Yep.
And that's what one of the things says, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me.
Yep.
And this is what I believe in 2018, we have to bring this across to whoever's hearing us out there, you know, that because I know that those that are hearing us, God's knocking at their door. They're chosen. Or they wouldn't hear this voice.
Correct.
They wouldn't hear us. They wouldn't hear us at all. So those that have an ear or hearing, And those that are hearing us really have to grab hold. If you're hearing us, grab hold of this, because it's going to alter your life. It's going to change your life to the better. And when Job finally realized who God was, that he was so powerful and so mighty that he could either bless us or curse us, he gave his life to God.
Yeah, he did. He surrendered. He said,
he surrendered. Yep. He says, "Who am I? You know, I can't even question you." At that point, what did God do? He restored his life, his family, his children, everything, his money, and a hundredfold. Not only did he restore it to where it was,
he gave him double.
Double, triple. Yeah. And then he even gave Job an authority to actually communicate with God.
Yeah.
Because God says to the others, "You go tell Job, I don't want to even hear from you." He says, "You go tell Job, and then Job can come and talk to me." How about that one?
Yeah.
That in itself is impressive to me. Because out of anything, I want God to hear me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Blessings are great and all that, but I want to be able to say, God, commune with God, and he honors it. That intimate honor.
Yeah.
To be able to not only honor the things within your own life, but how about to honor those loved ones that you have?
Well, that's where
like when I say, God, bless Kurt and protect him and his family. God, take care of Sam and fill his heart up with that joy and love. Bless my brother so that he's not tormented or troubled because of what's moving forward. Yep. Let him see the big light that I see.
Yep.
You see? Let him know the blessings that is in store for him. And don't let him be troubled to where those thoughts come into his head. Empower him with the Holy Spirit so that he can tear down the imaginations in his mind. You see? Because they're my loved ones. The last thing that someone who has love wants to see is that the individuals that they do love are tormented.
Right. Right.
Are suffering. That's the worst. That's why, you know, most people will say, "No, put the pain on me. Let me take the pain. Don't put the pain on them."
Well, now let me say the ultimate point of love. He told Abraham, "Take his son up on the altar and put him on the altar and take his life." And he said, you know, "God will provide." This is a sacrifice that he was making. Same thing with God, with Jesus. He put his son on. He's showing us that
you know, that's a good example of losing your life.
Yeah.
You know, he had a love for his son.
Yeah, he's waiting for his whole life, and he put him on the altar and said, "God, this is yours. I don't care. This is the sacrifice." And God, and all time, Isaac was saying, "Where's the lamb, God? Where's the lamb, Dad? God will provide. Don't worry, God will provide."
Yep.
Hop on his table.
And
tie
you know,
your hands down.
And that's a good
story
that is being brought in, because do you know what gave him the faith to believe that God will provide? By the prophetic voice that stirred his heart, knowing that his son was going to be
the leader of the nation.
The leader of the nations.
That's right.
So he took the prophecy that was in his heart.
That's faith.
And he knew. See, that's why when you know God and he speaks to your heart, you know that it's going to come to pass.
And you can do anything.
And you know
he can do anything.
And that's where people are
and
suffering.
And what happens?
Because they don't have that vision or that inkling.
Yep.
They're not seeing that. They're not hearing that. They don't have that vision.
They can't
that's why
lay it down.
Suffering.
They're still trying to hold on to their lives, and they're not laying everything down. It's horrible.
And they're also lost.
Exactly
they're
right.
They're lost because they don't have the relationship with God.
Right.
You know, having a relationship with God, you're found.
Exactly right.
Correct.
And then you can hold true to the, I call it the anointing.
That's right.
We spoke about the anointing. The anointing is the inspiration, the unction, the, what other is it? I'm getting a blank.
It's the inspiration, the unctions,
Conviction.
Paiku.
What perception,
perception,
inspiration, conviction,
passion,
unction.
Unction, that's it, paiku.
Passion,
No, not compassion.
No, passion.
Conviction.
Conviction.
Yeah, I didn't say compassion.
Inspiration, conviction,
perception, inspiration.
Perception.
Okay. Yeah.
And all that that comes from within is considered the anointing.
Correct.
And if we embrace the anointing, then we know it's the truth. That's right. Why Jesus was called the anointed one.
Yep.
He lived within. Now, we don't know how it's going to unfold.
Well, Jesus also knew the prophecy of himself. That's why he took the cross, because he knew he was going to be okay at the end. He knew the prophecy of his life, too.
By unction.
Exactly. Otherwise, he might have been like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why he told Peter, shut up.
Yeah.
Well, the unction told him God was going to raise him in 3 days.
Exactly right. He knew that.
He knew
it. The Old Testament says that, too. So he knew the Old Testament, too.
If he didn't know that, I guarantee he probably wouldn't go to the cross.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
So, but at the same time, those unctions will allow you to prophesy your future.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's why I told several people in the past, you keep talking about that, you're bringing your future into into existence.
That's right.
And that's why they got to tear down those imaginations,
that's right.
Tear down those thoughts. Anything bad that enters into our minds,
no good.
We got to throw them away.
That's right.
Like Pastor Tim said before, who told you
that's
that?
Right.
Who told you?
That's right. You know, as you're saying that, you hear of people that invent something or very successful at something, and they had something as a young child that always wanted them to go in a certain direction.
Yeah.
And I believe that was a word from God.
Was
that unction, that conviction.
Oh, sure.
Where they fall short. Yep. Is they said they did it on their own.
Correct.
And if you, I don't know a person that's been through life that hasn't been destroyed by that.
Right.
Yeah, we've been anointed since the day we were born.
Correct.
Yep.
The anointing is in everyone. Everyone has the anointing. They just don't understand what it is.
That's right. Exactly. That's why we're here.
All right, we got to close. I want to thank everyone for listening. Stay tuned, and let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. God bless.